Morning, Attorney Carolyn Blanchard for Mr. Minich, by registration number 34066. And, case is pretty straightforward in the briefs. First, I'm arguing that Mr. Minich was denied right to present a defense by the judge's ruling that his pretrial ruling was not relevant to the case, and the position of trust issue that Mr. Minich wasn't really charged with anything to do with DM in this case. And I have a little add-on, third one I didn't raise in my brief, which is correction of the minimus. The contributing to the delinquency of the minor is recorded as a sixth life sentence, and it should be just a sixth, and it's certainly not a life sentence. And I just missed it, you know. It's a simple issue. So my argument that the relevancy of the judge's ruling that DM was clearly emancipated in terms of living in a relationship with an older male should have been read to the jury or given to the jury, because it certainly would have an effect on the findings of the case, the jury's ruling, and that the judge had ruled that this young woman was emancipated by living in a relationship with an older man. Comparing that to the statute of the emancipation statute, the only way a young woman could be emancipated by living with an older man is if she's in a marriage with him. So that would certainly negate the requirement, the element of the charge of position of trust, and both the charge of the sexual assault charges that she was, DM was Mr. Minich's wife.
Ms. Blanchard, your argument that if the court said that DM was emancipated, then you're saying that means that DM was, excuse me, was married. Isn't that putting the cart before the horse?
Cart before the horse. Well, I guess I don't understand.
Well, in order to find that someone is common law married, there needs to be certain findings made. You're saying just a finding that she's emancipated in terms of living with an older man.
Correct.
Is that finding sufficient to find a common law marriage?
Well, that certainly is a question in this case. I don't think there's any way to interpret the judge's ruling any other way. What if the judge said that she's clearly emancipated, and the reason why she's emancipated is living in a relationship with an older man? And the judge made the ruling gratuitously. No one asked him to make a ruling about emancipation. And emancipation wasn't a necessary ruling to permit the search in this case. He just made the ruling, and it's kind of, I would say, a surprising ruling. I mean, I've never had a judge rule anybody was emancipated before.
Counsel, but shouldn't there have to be legal proceedings to declare somebody emancipated before you can have that legal declaration, as opposed to a judge misspeaking? Maybe he just used the wrong terminology.
Well, it's a very esoteric word. I mean, with a specific legal meaning. I suppose it has many legal meanings, but...
But because it has a legal meaning, shouldn't there have to be legal proceedings to secure that declaration? And here, there's nothing in the record that tells us that either.
My reading of the law doesn't require any legal proceeding. That these two people just have to be living together, hold themselves out to be married, and believe that's it. She had to be over 12 years old at the time. And that's the only legal requirement.
Let me try to refocus that question if I could. Was there any evidence presented at the suppression hearing concerning the elements of the common law marriage, especially holding up?
The only evidence was the police officer, I believe, testified that DM said she was like his wife, like my client's wife.
Okay, but that wouldn't satisfy the test of common law marriage.
Well,
correct.
Correct.
Okay. Well, then.
I
guess my point is, if there was no evidence presented before the lower court during the suppression hearing, then how can there be a connection between the judge's, as you acknowledge, gratuitous comment about emancipation and your assertion that that essentially resolves the common law marriage issue?
Because of the judge's following comments of emancipation in terms of living in a relationship with an older man. It's not in terms of holding yourself out to be married, it's in terms of living with another man.
But that evidence wouldn't satisfy the test of a common law marriage.
And then what you're essentially saying is the judge's ruling isn't correct.
Or gratuitous.
Gratuitous, but it's there.
But if it's there without any evidentiary basis, why should we give it the significance that you're arguing?
Because the judge said it, and there it is. And usually, we take the judge's ruling as the law of the case.
Well, only if it has some support in the record.
Well, true. I can't argue with that. But there is. The judge must have found some support in the record to use this word, to use emancipation. It's just a very strange thing to see. I've just never seen it in the record of practicing law. Had any judge ever said a 15-year-old young woman living with an older man is emancipated? And so the judge must have had some reasons to make that determination. And then his ruling that it's not relevant is, I would say, incorrect in that he made it. It's ruling, it's flaw of the case. And he didn't need that for the suppression hearing. That's the major point I'm trying to make, is that none of the cases as judges referred to and reason for permitting a search require that the person be emancipated in order to allow the cops, police into the residence. So, the relevance, it didn't matter. it was relevant to Mr. Minich's defense, the defense that he was in a common law marriage with DM.
But couldn't he prove common law marriage even without that statement by the trial court? If he had evidence that, you know, they held out to others that they were married and that they, and, you know, testimony that they did live together.
Well, there was one of the officers testified that, yes, someone else in the building supposedly said, it's like, she's like your wife. So that was in the record. But it's Mr. Minich's allegation that Dion was lying in her testimony, that she was lying about joint ownership of the car, that they went to get wedding rings, and that she checked into the hotel as the wife. So it was his allegation that Dion was lying.
Well, Ms. Blanchard, wasn't there other evidence in the record at trial that DM was living with defendant?
Yes.
All right. And there was other evidence that she was like a wife.
Correct.
So how was defendant's right to present a defense impaired if that evidence came in?
Well, DM also denied that she was the wife, that they ever talked about being a wife, that she wanted to be a wife.
But the court never made a finding at the suppression hearing that they were married. So I'm just wondering, what did the court's finding at the suppression hearing, what would it have added to defendant's right to present a defense when the other evidence already came in that they were living together and that she was like a wife?
It would add that the judge had found previously that they had a common law marriage, that they were, that she was emancipated anyway, by living in a relationship with an older man. That's the specific ruling that the defense attorney wanted in. And that's certainly more specific and on point than DM's denials and the other testimony. The other testimony was certainly minimal, except for the living together. And my time's running out here, so as to the position of trust issue, DM's grandmother, who was her guardian or adoptive parent, just dropped this young woman off at Mr. Minich's house. We don't know if she dropped her off to emancipate her, or what was the purpose for just dropping her there. There's no evidence in this record that Mr. Minich was charged with any responsibility for DM, only that she was left at the residence. And DM certainly, there was no indication of DM supported herself. She said she owned a car by herself. So the finances are unknown for DM. And she certainly, her testimony certainly indicated she was an independent actor in this case, and that she wasn't under Mr. Minich's supervision, I suppose. Parental guardianship of any way.
Wasn't there also testimony that early on in her residence there, he had sought to exercise parental type authority over her, giving her directions, telling her the consequences of misbehavior and the like?
She did not testify to that. She testified to how he wanted her to behave more or less in their relationship. He didn't want her to go out of the house. Can't think of another point at this. Thank you. I'll reserve my minute.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Rebecca Jones. My registration number is 31044, and I represent people of the state of Colorado.
Do you wish to comment on counsel's assertion that there's a minor error in the minimus either now or do so in writing in a few days?
Counsel did send an email late last night. I didn't get the email until a few minutes before argument this morning. It appears from the transcripts of the sentencing hearing that the court did impose a six-year sentence as opposed to a six-year-to-life sentence. And my brief review of the statutes dealing with the definition of a sex offender and indeterminate sentencing reveal that defense counsel may be correct in her assertion. But again, I haven't had enough time to to fully state that that is in fact the case.
Would you be comfortable doing that in writing by the end of the week?
That's fine, Judge.
All right. Just send a letter then to each of the panel members.
Okay.
Stating your final position.
Okay, thank you. Now, with respect to the defendant's argument that the court made a finding that the victim was emancipated at the suppression hearing, I don't think any such finding was made. In fact, the court specifically stated that the victim was not married to the defendant. And there was no evidence presented at the suppression hearing that the victim was married to the defendant. In fact, in cross-examining the officer, defense counsel specifically asked and pointed out that the victim was not married to the defendant. So I think, if anything, at worst, this was just inartful phrasing on the part of the trial court, but was not meant to convey a legal meaning that the court had, in fact, determined that the victim was emancipated. It certainly didn't convey that the victim was emancipated by the fact of her marriage to the defendant in this case. And even beyond that, it didn't determine that she was emancipated prior to September 1st, 2006, when the statute for common law marriage changed and the age of consent became 18. So the defendant would have to establish that the victim was common law married prior to that date. And the defendant is asking us to assume not only that the court made this ruling that the victim was emancipated, but that the emancipation was based on a finding of common law marriage, and that that finding was based on the dates prior to September 1st, 2006. And again, there was no evidence presented at the suppression hearing regarding a common law marriage between the victim and the defendant. This issue was not raised. The court was not asked to rule on this issue. So there's nothing about the court's ruling that would be relevant to the subsequent trial and the issues raised by the defendant in the trial regarding this offense. Now, with respect to the sufficiency of the evidence regarding the position of trust, there was overwhelming evidence presented that the defendant acted in place of a parent, taking on responsibilities and care of the victim in this case. The victim lived with the defendant. She had her own room. She did chores. She attended school. The defendant controlled the time that the victim spent with her friends. He dealt with phone calls from the school. He reported her as a runaway. When he spoke with the police on multiple occasions, he never described the victim as his wife. He called her an unruly teenager and said he wanted to send her back to live with her grandmother. So there was plenty of evidence in the record to show that the defendant had taken on a parental role and was acting in a position of trust with respect to the victim in this case. If the court has no further questions, we would ask that this court affirm the defendant's convictions. Thank you.
As to the common law marriage, just at the beginning of the trial, defense counsel said he was going to present that defense and argued that in opening statement. So I believe Pelley just said that he didn't present that defense at trial.
Well, I think the statement was that there was no supporting evidence presented.
Correct, and that's the problem with my client wasn't able to present the defense of the judge's ruling that DM was clearly emancipated by living in a relationship with an older man. So that's why that was so important to this trial. And back to the minimus issue, I tried to send an email earlier last week to a but I sent it to the wrong AG, so anyway, I didn't. I wasn't trying to pull the rug out of my opponents.
Is the procedure I suggested acceptable to you, that the AG will state a formal position in writing by the end of the week, obviously with a copy to you, and then we'll take up that issue?
Yes, Judge. Thank you for your understanding on that point.
All right. We appreciate the arguments of both counsel. The case stands submitted. The panel will issue a written opinion in due course. And.